All you adults, are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll get there in just a little bit. Repeat with me while we're there. Our basic verse for the year is 2 Corinthians 2:14, where we say, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Oh, that is so crucial. Every time I think about that, I just want to just preach it all over again. If we're following Christ, then he has got to lead us. And he can't lead us if we don't follow him. It means he's always out in front. And some of the things that just keep amazing me as I meditated on this, Jesus cannot lead us where he is not. He can't lead us into sin. He can't lead us into poverty. He can't lead us into sickness. He cannot lead us into those areas where he is not. Now, Jesus taught us to pray, you know, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your will be done on earth even as it's done in heaven." He taught us to pray that way. Well, that's because that's where he is. He's in heaven. And he said, "Where I am in heaven," you ought to pray that into existence in the earth. You ought to take over. I've been thinking about this a lot, but God essentially says occupy. And occupy means a physical presence. And if you don't have a physical presence, you are not occupying. Right. Hello? Right. If you're not there, you can't occupy. And we try to occupy some things through prayer, and you cannot occupy through prayer. You can tear things down. But, you know, when they took Jericho, I mean, that was a lot of prayer in Jericho. And they marched around the city, and they did what God told them to do, and then the walls collapsed. But they could have just shouted and said, "Wow, look at this, the walls have fallen. Praise be to God, glory to God. He's given us the city." They never, even though God had given them the city, they never would have taken it had they not entered in. If they had not gone in. The promise to, this is not in my message, but the promise to Moses and to Joshua was wherever you place the soles of your foot, or in other words, wherever you walk and take possession of, I will give it to you. And I don't think he meant just one time. You gotta stand there. You gotta be there a little bit. Well, we want to take our stand in God, amen. We want to occupy, and the space that God has given us in this life, we want to occupy those things because we give thanks to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He's given it to us. We need to occupy what God has given to us. Now, last week we ended with Proverbs 22:7, where it says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Now, there's two different people in here. We didn't go into this much detail, but there's two different people. There's the poor, and there's the servant. It says, "The rich rule over the poor." See, when you're in poverty, or you have a poverty spirit, a poverty attitude, you'll always cater to the wealthy person because they become your benefactor. It was interesting on Sean Hannity the other night. They had a number of, it was all black leadership in America, and they were all conservative blacks. And they were talking about that they are starting institutes now to train and to mentor young black kids. And they're teaching them, and they're raising the question to them, "What kind of business do you want to start?" He says, the typical question is, "What kind of a job do you want to have?" And he says, "We're upping that one notch. We're going around to where now we're starting to say, putting thoughts in the kids' heads, what kind of business do you want to own? Do you want to operate?" And the one example he used, I thought this was so cool. He says, "Would you like to operate and own an oil refinery?" Now see, my thinking is a bakery, a sporting goods shop, a mom and pop's grocery, you know, maybe a clothing center, maybe something. And there's how about an oil refinery? Oh, I never thought about that. And see, you don't until people start planting ideas into you, because we think about and we're limited by what we live in and by our current surroundings. And so a lot of times we don't see things that God has in store for us because we're limited. I like it. We're always looking down. But God told Abraham, "Lift up your head. Look around. See things." And he said, "Everything that you see, I'll give it to you." See, God is leading him. He's setting Abraham up to receive the abundance of God instead of the lack of the situation that he was in. Understand that? So if you're poor, the rich are all going to rule over you. So people say, well, I don't really like the prosperity message. Well, then the rich will always rule over you. The rich will always dominate you. The rich will always tell you where to go and what to do, because you will always be poor because you have rejected the abundance, the triumph that God has in store for us. Amen. Okay. The second person is the borrower is servant to the lender. Servant to the lender. Now this is a little bit different. As I meditate on this, the poor is just poverty. The poor is a poverty mentality, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. But the servant is, or the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, I don't think these are just exactly the same. Servant, I don't think he's talking about someone who's necessarily poor, but a servant is someone who is under authority. And so if you're always under authority, if you're always borrowing from somebody else, that lender will always be your master and will always control you because you've put yourself under authority and sometimes under the wrong authority. When Jesus speaks to servants, he's not talking about the poor, but one who is under the authority of another. Now, there's right authority and there's wrong authority. That's why we're to question the authority that we're under, because you got to be sure you're under the right authority, because they will always be your lender. They will always let you know what you can do and what you cannot do. So you've got to be under an authority that's going to release you, that's going to help you fulfill things rather than hold you back. Amen. Jesus wants to fulfill us, not hold us back. And yet he is our lender. Amen. Everything we have, we owe to Jesus Christ. Our life, our breath, our health, all those things we owe to Jesus. Out of his abundance, he ministers to us. And so he is our lender, and we are servant under his authority. But that's a good kind of authority. When men step in, men want to dominate, they want to rule, they want to control you, they want to dictate to you for their own personal gain rather than for your glorification. Now, a poverty mentality will always be dependent on others for their well-being and for their safety. If you always borrow from others, they will always rule over you. And we said this last week, you will not bite the hand that feeds you. If you understand that everything you have comes from God, you're not going to get mad at God, because he's the source of your blessing. Amen. I mean, if I get mad at God, where do I turn to now? There's no place I can turn to, because God's my benefactor. God's my blesser. If I turn on him, nothing is like God. No one is like God. So I'm going to honor God. I'm going to bless God. That's what praise and worship is. Lord, you are good. Even though I feel lousy, you are good. Even though I'm poor right now, Lord, I thank you. You're my blesser. I thank you, God, you're my financier. If I'm sick, Lord, I thank you that you're my healer. Because if I don't thank him for that, then who's going to heal me? So, there's doctors. Look, doctors give you medication. Most of the time, it masks illness. It doesn't heal you. Look at all the ads on TV about all these. There was a new ad out the other day, and I'm thinking, I can't even figure out what this is for. I couldn't figure out. I can't remember the name of it now. I couldn't even remember what the medication was for, but I remember all the side effects: bleeding, bowel irritation, nausea, sometimes heart attack, and blindness. It's like, whoa! Why do I want to sign up for this? See, if I'm going to have that. Trust in that to heal me, it's going to create all these other problems in me. I still need to be healed, even taking the medication. So God is the source of my healing. Now, we're not against medication. We're not against going to the doctor. We're not against those things at all. But you've got to understand, God is your healer, not the doctor. The doctors can intervene. They can help us out. Praise be to God that we've got doctors. As one faith healer said years ago, without doctors, there'd be a lot of dead Christians. Think about it, because most Christians, they don't run to God the first time off. You know, we go to God when we have run out of everything else. I guess it's come to this, Martha. We got to pray. You know, and that's how we approach God, because we're not letting God lead us into triumph. Now, we said this last week, and I've been thinking about this an awful lot. You only seek and pursue the things of God as you see it directly benefiting you. And if there's things that you hear preachers talk about, and you say, well, I don't have a need of that, you tend to not pursue it. And then the problem is, because we haven't pursued it, when the situation, the crisis arrives, we want God to be Jehovah Jireh. And our faith isn't there. Our trust isn't there. Our confidence isn't there, because we didn't see far enough ahead that we're going to need this sometime. You know, when you're 20 years old and you hear people talk about, you know, when you hit 50, you just start falling apart, you think it's a big joke. When it's 50, it's another matter. Well, you need to start praying when you're 20 about when you're 50, not wait till you're 50 to start praying about it. Understand what I'm saying? We talked to somebody the other day, and they were talking about some of the minister friends that they had, and they said, man, they don't have anything saved up for retirement. Don't have any. They've just gave everything into the gospel and everything to the poor, and now that they're getting close to retirement, they don't have any money. They don't have any source of income. And they were talking about one of their own family members. He said, at least we convinced them to keep their house. I mean, I want Jesus to come back today. I'd be happy if he came back today. But what if it's another 30 years? Then what am I going to do? See, we've got to occupy. That doesn't change who God is, but God has given us power and authority over our circumstances. But if we don't make preparation, when the need arises, we won't have the resources to meet the need. In prayer, in finances, in health, in spiritual things. I'm not talking about just natural things. I'm talking about preparing ourselves spiritually for the things that we don't understand that we may have to face. And we've got to prepare that. We prepare ourselves by following after God. So you will not bite the hand that feeds you. If you see God as your provider, God, I honor you. Lord, I lift you up. Hallelujah. I will sing praise to the Lord all God. Why? He's my benefactor. Praise and worship is acknowledging that God is my blesser. It's acknowledging he is my God, he is my Lord, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what's going on around me. God, I will honor you in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. Now, that has literally kept me alive. Years ago, when we met in the fire department, the second floor, there was about, I think, 17, 18 steps. I forget now, I should remember that, but a lot of steps up to the top. And I got sick. We realized later it was a demonic attack. We had dealt with a group of charismatic witches, spirit-filled Christian witches who were casting spells on people. And myself and two other pastors, we had a confrontation with them. We went out there and confronted them. Their overseers of their ministry, they refused to come that night. So the three of us met with them, and as we were leaving, they put a curse over us. And only one of us was smart enough to pick it up, and he was the only one that wasn't affected by it. And my thing was, I got really weak and got really bad off, and I remember I got so bad I would walk up to the top of the steps, and Debbie and I would get there early, because when I walked up to the top of the steps, I'm out of breath. I mean, I can hardly breathe, and I had to rest about 5 minutes to go on. And during church, you know, it got real hard sometimes, praising and worshiping God. And I remember twice, and I wasn't putting anything on for God. Nobody had a clue what was going on. I didn't even understand things. But the devil came to me in worship. Is that unusual? During worship, I'm praising God and thanking him, and the devil came to me. And he said, just as clear as a bell, I'm going to kill you. And my response, not trying to be spiritual, not trying to do all this stuff, not trying to impress anybody, my first reaction was, if I die, I'm going to die praising the Lord. And I put my hands up in the air. Now, I'm dog tired. And I started dancing. I started moving around. I started hopping. You know, I started moving. And I believe with all my heart that because I reacted that way twice when the devil came to me, that's the only reason I am alive today. Because I made a decision, I am going to praise God in the midst of this. If the devil's going to take me out, I'm going to go out praising God, and the devil get no glory out of it at all. Well, we found out later, we went back to Ohio. I'm trying to make a long story short, but we went back to Ohio because we didn't doctor anything, and we went to our family physician that we hadn't seen for 15 years, I think, and we went into our family physician, wasn't that long, maybe 5 or 6 years, I think. And we went back to him, and he looked me over just, and he says, Gordon, I'm going to send you in for a blood test. Okay, fine, whatever. So he called me up that afternoon and says, Gordon, I got the results of the blood test back. I said, well, praise God. I said, what was it? He said, 5.3. Does anybody know what 5.3 means in a blood test? I had no clue. I didn't know what it meant. He said, when you get back to Ohio, I want Debbie to drive you. You do not drive. I want Debbie to drive you to the hospital. You get them to get a wheelchair, come out, pick you up, and take you in. I said, you got to be kidding me. That's when I started putting on weight. I ate a lot of potato chips. I'll tell you why in a minute. Well, we got back home, went to my sister's for Christmas and spent some time with her, and came back, and that afternoon when we drove back home, I told W, I said, I am so tired. I said, would you drive back home? She said, I'll drive home. A couple days later, I called up the doctor and told him that he had told me to see a doctor. He goes, well, okay. He says, he saw me, said, I'm going to run a blood test. I said, I just had one a few days ago. He said, well, what was it? I said, 5.3. He just lowered his head and started writing out a piece of paper, tore it off, gave it to Debbie, and said, you take him to the hospital right now. Get a wheelchair, come out to the car, pick him up, take him into the hospital. He said, I don't want him walking in. So what is the issue? What is the problem? Well, after I'm in the hospital, Kathy came in to visit me. I'll never forget it. They gave me four pints of blood so I would survive surgery. She saw me before surgery with the 4 quarts of blood in, and she's looking at me, or after surgery, I think, and she's just looking at me. I'm saying, what are you looking at? She says, your ears, they're pink. I had lost all color. Now, this is where the 5.3 comes in. You're supposed to have between 15 and 16 pints of blood in your blood system. I had 5.3. They said I shouldn't even be walking around. They said they usually meet me when I've hit my head off the toilet and I've come in with concussion and they have to stitch my head together. He said, this is how we usually see you people. We never see you people walking into a doctor's office. We never see you. I was that close to death. If I had bled, I would have bled to death in 30 seconds, and there would be absolutely nothing anybody could do about it. And it was all demonic. But praise and worship got me through. Why? Because God always leads us in triumph in Christ. See, this is the key to it. This isn't just a cute little saying. It's not just a little thing. See, when I praise and worship God, Lord, I thank you. God, I am alive. Amen. I've got a reason and a purpose to glorify Him. And so many people just, well, it's that time of the service. No, it's that time for life. It's that time to get healed. It's that time to have the Spirit of God move on the inside of you. Now, this is, I told you I put on a lot of weight during that time. I ate lots of potato chips because potato chips have a lot of salt, and salt keeps your blood pressure up. Man, I would sit down in the afternoon and eat a whole 20-ounce bag of potato chips just about every day because I didn't know why at the time, but anything that had salt, I craved. Oh, I just wanted that salt so bad because it kept my blood pressure up. And as long as my blood pressure was up, I'm doing pretty good until the pressure dropped. And then it's like, don't talk to me because I'm gone. I'm out of here. But God preserved me in that time. See, your allegiance will be to your source. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Your allegiance will be to your source. If God is your healer, your allegiance will be to Him. If God is your financier, your allegiance will be to Him. If God is your deliverer, your allegiance will be to Him. You will not bite the hand that feeds you. Now, if you're not sure that God is, well, I'll go to church, not go to church. I'll worship, I'll not worship. I'll do this, I'll not do that. Why? You don't know who your source is. You don't understand the power that God has beyond the natural realm of things and how He can turn things around because you're so focused on this reality that we have in the earth that you miss the reality and power of God. Amen. Have you found 1 Corinthians 12:3? I said all that to say this. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, now he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but this is really crucial. He says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Now, that has always confused me, because I've known people, Jesus is Lord, you know, and they live like the devil. And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? But what he's saying, I believe, is no one can say, Jesus is my source. Jesus is my Jehovah Jireh, except by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about just making a confession. Well, Gordon said Jesus is Lord, so Jesus. No, I'm talking about down in your heart. I'm saying down in where you've got such a commitment that you will never sway from that position. Jesus is Lord. You can't say that unless you have a belief that he is your supplier. You can't say that unless you know that Jesus is your helper. You can't say that unless you know Jesus is your financier. You can't just, well, Jesus is Lord, hallelujah. Because if you say that and don't have that revelation in your heart, it's just words. And there's too many Christians that are saying just words because they don't have a revelation of who God is. I could ask you a question. Are you saved? And most of us in here would go, yeah, I'm saved. Now, what did God save you from? Oh, that gets a little bit harder, doesn't it? Some of us would say, well, he saved me from hell. Whew, boy, glad I got that one off. I saved you from hell. Well, that's good. What else did he save you from? Well, what do you mean, what else? Well, is he your supplier? Well, I've never heard of that before. See, we've been preaching how God ministers to us out of his abundance, out of his overflow, that when God blesses us, nobody else gets cheated. Nobody else loses anything. God's got more than enough to go around 100,000 times. He's got more than enough. But until you begin to tap into God's abundance, because if you were like me, I was raised very religious. If you got something, that means somebody else didn't get theirs. You know, have you ever had your parents tell you, now you clean up all your food because if you don't, all those starving kids in China will keep on starving. They're not going to get my food anyway. Come on. I mean, you can freeze vegetables. They're only good for so long. You can ship them over there. In most countries that are starving, the food is rotting on the docks because the government is so messed up that they don't care if they get the food to the people. Because it's all government controlled. Well, we've got the free enterprise system. Isn't it amazing that that free enterprise system gets all the food to Walmart every day? No government involvement at all. In Venezuela, they have government. Government orders everything. Government stocks everything. Did you hear they had a toilet paper shortage here last month? Oh, son of a gun, you didn't dot the I or dot the I and cross the T on your form. So, son of a gun, we just forgot to order toilet paper. And they said that the explanation from the government of Venezuela, there was a sudden unexpected run on toilet paper. Not unless a whole country got diarrhea at the same time, there wasn't an unexpected run. Come on. I mean, the shelves were empty. There was nothing in the warehouses. Just last week, they had another shortage. Now, this doesn't surprise me being Venezuela. They ran out of sacred wine for the Catholic churches in Venezuela. Oh, son of a gun. The government forgot to order it. Oh, but we've got a free enterprise system. If you want Holy Communion wine, there's an abundant supply. You need toilet paper? It's an abundant supply. Why? Because government is not yet in the way to stop it from happening. Because it's in our own best interest. If I own a business, I'm gonna get my product to you, because if I don't get my product to you, you can't sell it and I don't make any money. It takes care of itself without government interference. But if you look to the government as your source, your allegiance is always going to be the government. God is our source. God is the one who makes these things possible. So, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter was quick to respond, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." See, the only way you know Jesus is Lord, the only way you know that Jesus is your Savior, is your provider, is your sustainer, is by revelation. I can stand up here and teach you and teach you and teach you and teach you, and it will be of no benefit at all until you get a revelation. And you will not get a revelation until you begin to seek God. We have had a lot of teaching. We've had a lot of explanations. But until you get into that desperate situation, "I need to touch God," you will not have a revelation. And you'll hear the teaching, and you'll agree with the teaching, and you'll say, "Yes, sir, I understand that." You'll look at the scriptures. "Yes, that's true. That's what it says." But you will never have that revelation that everything I need is in Jesus Christ. You'll never have that revelation till you get into a spot of need and you cry out. And unfortunately, because we've not sought God in the good times, when the hard times come, we don't have a clue where to go. One of the things, you know, the Bible talks about in the final days there'll be a great falling away. One minister recently, I don't know how recently, on TV, made this observation. He says, how many Christians will fall away that when things get tough and the rapture doesn't happen when they think it ought to? How many Christians are going to fall by the wayside? God, your promise didn't come about the way that I thought. So they leave God. How many Christians have left God because they were in a charismatic church that taught healing and had a loved one die? And they got mad at God because God didn't heal. How many people have tithed and fallen away from God because when they got into a financial situation, God didn't come through? The real problem is they never had faith in God. They had faith in the system. What if some things don't happen the way we think they will? Does it change God? No, it doesn't. But we may change. Because if it doesn't happen the way we've spelled it out, if it doesn't happen just exactly how we've got it anticipated, some of these things don't. I don't have an answer why. I really don't. But I know God's grace is sufficient, and I know God is not the problem. I know enough God is not the one that we're fighting with to get these things to manifest in the earth, but I know there's a fight. I know these things aren't easy. I know that there's a fight of faith. And if we don't realize that going in, we'll just say, "Well, I said the words and it didn't work for me." You know, when God gave me an understanding that if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover, a lot of people that I laid hands on didn't recover. Some died. And it always got me about the ones that did, because I was raised in a church that we believed in anointing for healing, and we'd have people come to us and said, "Gordon, I'm dying. Told me I've got cancer. I want to have an anointing service." And I tried to tell them, "The anointing service is not last rites. I know that." I said, "This is for healing. I know that." And in that service, one of the questions we asked people, are there any unconfessed sins? Now, see, in some circles, well, you wouldn't ask that question because all of our sins are under the blood of Jesus. But when you're dealing with some critical issues, sometimes you've got to deal with that. Are there any unconfessed sins? Is there anything that you have not forgiven others of? Do you know you can hold things against God and not forgive God? God, why did you allow me to get in this spot? How did you allow these things to happen to me? Lord, I've served you. I've been grown up in the church. I've done all these things for you. And yet, God, you didn't come through when I needed you. You can get mad at God. So we would ask, is there any unconfessed sins? And sometimes we'd be stunned at the sins that would come out. And we'd pray, forgive the sins, and we'd anoint them for healing. And they got healed. And I'm thinking, this rat, this louse, he's been in my church for years. I know everything about him. You can't get him to show up. But yet God heals him. Why? He got past all the malarkey. Got serious with God. This is life or death. And all of a sudden, God became his source. And he connected with God. I keep telling people, and I'm talking to me on this, you only need to touch God for a second to get stuff. You don't have to hug God for 100 years to get something. His glory is so amazing. His presence is so awesome. All it takes is just a touch. The lady with the issue of blood, for years and years and years she bled. For years she had this problem. For years she sought doctors. She had spent all of her money. She had nothing left. But she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Just touched it. I want to think in my mind's eye, man, she grabbed that baby and she just held on to that. But that's not what the Bible says. She just touched the hem of his garment. And instantly, virtue flowed out of him and she was healed instantly. And he turned around, who touched me? Who touched me? And all the disciples said, Jesus, we're in the middle of a crowd. I mean, probably half the people in the crowd touched you at one time or another. What do you mean, who touched me? But someone touched him in faith and was instantaneously healed. This is the power of our God. Amen? He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. See, you cannot say Jesus is Lord. You cannot say that Yahweh is your supplier just by flesh and blood. It takes a revelation of who God is in your life, a revelation of our salvation, a revelation that we are a child of God, a revelation of that Jesus alone is my source, that he is my help, my present help in time of need. Now, why is this so important? Because God is outside the natural. He is outside the natural. To recognize that Jesus is our source is to realize that our source is greater than the natural world. He is bigger than anything you and I can see or begin to understand. He created everything. Now, you've got to be bigger to create it. You've got to be larger. And I think about all the detail. I mean, just look at yourself. Look at an animal. Look at an insect. The detail that goes into that. Who could have thought of all those things? Of a butterfly. We saw a thing on butterflies the other day. This is the magnificence of God. You know, butterflies don't have any color on their wings. There's no color. It's all refracted light. God has created the butterfly with no color. But as the light hits his wings, we see color because of the refraction of in the wings of the light. Is that a glorious God? I mean, I can take a paintbrush and put color on something, but I can't make it reflect light and to different color and particular patterns. How do you do that? They say, well, it's just by chance. It's just evolution. No, it's not. Do you think, I forget who it was. Some person years ago said, creative people play. And as you get older, you lose your ability to play. But all creative people learn how to play. I just have this image, Francis, of God creating and just playing. I wonder what this would look like. Ooh, there's a butterfly. I wonder what a moth would look like. And let's not make one, let's make 1,000. Let's make tens of thousands of these things. Just plan. I wonder what this would look like, just to play and just create it. I mean, Jesus didn't want to turn the water into wine. But his mom said, it's a wedding and they've run out of wine. He said, what do I care? And then she walks away, just like every good mother, and doesn't hear the objection of their children. She walks away and tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do. I can just, you know, Jesus, it's not my time yet, Mom. He knew who he was, but Mom said to. Honor your father and your mother, and you'll live long in the land. Okay. I don't know what Jesus did. I don't know if he blessed the pots. He told people pour water into the pots because they were all empty. And as they poured the water, I don't know if the miracle happened when they hit the pots or the miracle happened when they took the water out, but it was wine. And it was the best wine of the feast because God doesn't do anything cheap. See, our God is so far above all the things that we see because he created all these things. Amen? Now, go to Ephesians 3. We're just going to have to stop here. But Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him, to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. When you were a kid, you had big dreams. You had big ideas. I know when I went in the ministry, I had big ideas. You know, we're going to see our city change. We're going to see it transform. We're going to see all these things. We're going to see thousands come to the Lord. We're going to travel the world. We're going to do all these things. And as you get older, it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Who changed? We did. God hasn't changed. Yeah, but when I was a kid, I was silly. I was going to be a fireman and rescue all these people. What is silly about that? There are people today who are firemen, and they rescue people. What is silly about that? Well, I wanted to be a cowboy. Well, they're still cowboys. There's still, all these things are needed. All these things are necessary. But we've either let ourselves or other people shape our world instead of God. I think this morning, this is where the Lord's leading. I want to get you to dream again. I want to get you to the point of where you start seeking to live beyond what you can see. To get out of the limitations of the natural realm and begin to vision again. Begin to ask God, Lord, what is possible for me? Now, some things may be delayed. What is really of interest to us has changed. Okay, I don't want to be a fireman anymore. I wanted to be an architect one time, but God called me out of that too. It's like, where I am now, Lord, what is your path for me? If you always lead me into triumph, where do you want to lead me? Where do you want to take me, Lord? And then invest yourself in it. You need a revelation. Now, you may not be the one called to totally transform the United States of America, but you've got a part in it. You may not be the one to change Kaiser, but you'll have a part in it. You may not be the one to change your family, but you'll have a part in it. See, what is the vision that God has for you now? And don't look at the big thing as much as look, okay, where do you want me to put my foot now? Okay, show me the light. Just little things. Praying, reading, studying, greeting, being kindly to people, getting rid of the temper. Get rid of the expectation that you put on others that you don't expect from yourself. Oh, I didn't mean to go there. But beginning to, Lord, where do you want to take me now, this moment, in this hour, in this time? Because God is able to do more, exceedingly, abundantly more than what you can ask or think. If we want to be creative and begin to move in the things of God, we've got to start playing a little bit more. Kids have a way, they don't care what you think. When I think about me and the kids I played with in Oklahoma, one of the neighbors got I think it was a box for a washer or a dryer. That's back when they came in boxes, you know. Man, we had ourselves a tank. We'd get inside that box, and we would just, with our hands, we would run over other kids, you know. And if I was on the outside, I'm trying to stop it. If I was on the inside, I'm going over you. But, I mean, we played. the parents would come out and look at us and, what are those kids doing? I don't know if they did or not, but it's like, I watch kids play today. I'm thinking, what on earth do they think they're doing out there? They're just having fun. Sometimes we're too much like George Wilson of Dennis the Menace, and we're just growl at every kid. Sometimes we need to just maybe play with them a little bit. Get some of that play stuff back. I'm not talking about video games. I'm talking about playing in your imagination for what God could do through you if you just stop worrying about what everybody else might think and just do what you know you should do. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for everyone here today. I pray, first of all, God, that they would know Jesus Christ, Lord, that Jesus would be their Lord and their Savior. Father, I pray for a fresh revelation. Father, open our eyes again. Open our hearts again that we can dream of the things that you have put into us. Father, I believe you put dreams in every one of us. I believe you put goals in every one of us. Father, we've sometimes buried them. We've let them become dormant because of fear. Lord, release us from that fear. In the name of Jesus, release us from that fear of what others would think and give us the boldness of our righteousness, that we would know who we are in you. Give us a revelation, Father, that we are your children and you enjoy watching us play, to laugh, to run, to leap, to dance before you. God, give us that joy of a child, that when we look up and see you smiling down on us, that we giggle again, that we can rejoice with you, Father. Father, I pray your blessing on us, on our families, our households, our congregation. Father, your blessing in our jobs, in our workplace, God. Help us, Father, to be everything you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you.